Well, good evening. I have the advantage tonight. I not only picked the hymn, so I got to preach. Thank you, Fev, for filling in. Tonight, our title of our message is Our Mission is the Great Commission. Could you please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. In life, many people have different missions that they go about seeking to do. And in fact, the world would want you to get a part of some of the missions that they would have to do. Now, there's many different missions that you can do. And I sort of broke them up into probably three main categories that people generally have a mission. The first would be a mission because they care. They have a mission and they have the sympathy and they show care. Another one would be self-promotion. They're wanting to achieve something. It's not something really for someone else, but they have a goal and that's their mission. And another one might be preservation. They might be seeking to preserve something. They might be seeking to have something continue on. Now, tax time's coming. And some of these people say, all right, this is your time where you can invest in our mission and you will get your tax money back. But our mission isn't the missions that are going to give us our tax money back. Our mission is the Great Commission. We're not necessarily here on this earth to have a cause that gives us satisfaction. And I was surprised to see that one of the most satisfying jobs was a teacher out of about 15. Nurse, psychotherapist, firefighter, human resource manager or surgeon for some of the others. And thinking about self-promotion, we have the Olympics coming up. Some people, they do certain things so they can be remembered. And that's why they have the mission that they have. Some people do things to stop things from going on. And our mission is not something that is going to be forgotten. It's something that will be continued because it's not based upon us. So as we read this scripture, please turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just come before you tonight and I ask that you would give me wisdom and help me as I preach your word. May it be understood and may it be a benefit to the audience, but as well as myself, dear Lord. We commit these things to you now. Amen. Now, for you that are well-diversed in linguistics, I'm not exactly one of those people, but I went to college and it helped me become a lot better than what I was. And something I want us to understand, as you may know, the New Testament was written in Greek. Not like English. English is, if we're looking for what really matters, we generally look for the subject. But in Greek, you look for the verb. And that's why verbs can be very complex. And if you read Greek, they have all these different endings. Now, the main thing that you would look at in these verses is if we go to verse 19, as well as verse 20, there may be five verbs that you can see, but we'll count out commanded because that's what God wants us to do. But you see there, go, teach, baptizing, and teaching. And if we want to know what's the main emphasis of the Great Commission, well, you might think it must be the first verb because it says go. But it's not. Because if you understand, it actually says you're already going. So this isn't the emphasis. But the emphasis, and I'm saying this because I tried to study what it was meaning, is the teach. But the teach means to make disciples. So having gone, making disciples, baptizing them and teaching them to observe all things. So the main emphasis of the message tonight is our mission, the Great Commission, is about making disciples. That's what missions is about. It's about going about and making disciples, duplicating yourself somewhere else. In fact, Christians were obviously called Christians because they were known to be little Christs. They were people that had the characteristics of what Christ had. And that's why they were first called Christians. And as we see in verse 19, go you therefore, teach all nations. Missions is about discipling people everywhere. And as we know in Acts chapter 1:8, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. It's meant to be here. It's meant to be in New South Wales. It's meant to be in Australia. And as we know, in other foreign countries as well. Evangelizing is showing them Christ, giving them the answer, how he died upon the cross for our sins. But then to follow on from that, we just don't need to see people saved. We need to see people trained to be like Christ. It's a greater process. And I think of a number of verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 1, it says, be ye followers of me, even as I am also of Christ. And that's what Paul was saying. He was wanting people to follow him, not because he wanted people to be like Paul. He wanted people to be like Christ. And that's what discipleship's all about. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2 it says, and the thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Passing the message on, not letting it stay with you. Also in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, it reads, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. This is an example of the faith continuing on, being discipled through generations, through the grandmother, through the mother, and then looking on through Timothy. So as we look tonight, we're looking at reproducing Christians, reproducing not necessarily who we are, because I can tell you right now, if you want to reproduce me, there'll be a few more headaches. So you want to reproduce people that are Christ-like, not necessarily like you. But you may have good characteristics. Let's turn back to, if you're still there, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. Our first point tonight is, the Great Commission isn't exclusive. It's not only for some Christians. When I'm reading the scriptures, in verse 18, Jesus came and spake unto them. Now, the them was not Peter, James, and John that were in the Garden of Gethsemane. It wasn't the 12, or would be the 11 right then. It was to those that were about to see him ascend into heaven. Now, it doesn't say how many people were there or who wasn't there, but we know that this command was given to those that were followers of Christ. And I want to charge you tonight that if you are a Christian, this counts you in. This doesn't necessarily mean that if you're a pastor, if you're an intern, if you're a Sunday school worker, if you're a youth worker, you know, you are supposed to be the ones door knocking, you're the ones supposed to be giving out the flyers, giving out the tracts. No, this is a command to every Christian. Now, anyone who's good at maths knows that if you do 1 times 1, you're going to get 1. So, in order to make disciples, it's better not that one person does the multiplying, because 1 times whatever number will always be that number. But when you start adding more numbers in, 2 times 2 equals 4. But if I have 1 times 2, it equals 2. And that's why I love the Sunday school song that says, if you tell 2 people and I tell 2 people, then 4 more people will know. And then it goes, if they tell 2 people and we tell 2 people, then God's family will grow. And that is the secret of the Great Commission, is that God's family will grow. This is not something that is kept just for the leaders within the church. This is a challenge for everyone. And you might say, well, I'm not a very outgoing person. And I know that we all have different spiritual gifts, and I don't believe that's really my gift. Well, it's true, there are spiritual gifts, but sharing the gospel and equipping someone in their Christian walk isn't necessarily a spiritual gift. The gifts are teaching, mercy, giving, administration, serving, and there's a couple more to go along with that. Let's think about this. When we talk food, people seem to click into action. I was thinking of Hungry Jack's. You know, what's Hungry Jack's known for? The burgers are better at Hungry Jack's. Now, when you sign up, if you want to work for Hungry Jack's, the main bottom line is we got to sell burgers. Now, not everyone sells burgers at Hungry Jack's. Some people make the burgers. Some people just clean the place. Some people might be marketing in Hungry Jack's. They might not be in every single store, but they're there to help you buy that burger. And then you have the few at the front that are actually selling the burgers. Now, as the Church of God, we are all to have a part in discipling other people. And you might think, yeah, well, I suppose I never thought about when I go to a restaurant, not everyone's trying to sell me, but that's what they wanted, that's what they told, that's what they get taught. You got to sell the burgers. This is what we're here for. As Christians, we are here to disciple people. Now, we need people saved in order to disciple them, but that's what God's left us here on this earth. How are you investing in someone? What part do you have in making disciples? Sometimes one of the first steps that a person can have is just getting to know someone at work, getting to talk to them, but then going on from talking to them, praying for an opportunity, looking for those opportunities to share the gospel with them. Seeing family events, going and talking to people, and then talking about how God has changed your life and how maybe He can change your can change their life. Sometimes being a parent, and I'm not there yet, one of the most precious jobs that you have is to be able to disciple your children. Amen. It's probably one of the hardest jobs too. Amen. But as I think of that verse that we read earlier in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, it started with the grandmother, Lois. And then it went to Eunice. And then it went to Timothy. And we hope that it went on, but we haven't heard what happened. Now, reading the Bible, we believe that it continued on. But it's important to not only look for disciples outside of the church, but also sometimes within our very homes. Now, when we seek to build our relationships, you don't necessarily want to share the gospel with someone straight away because they don't really know you. They don't really trust you. And sometimes when you're sharing the gospel with someone, I think of it as like riding a horse. You cannot necessarily get on top of a horse until they trust you. Because if you get on top of the horse, guess what's going to happen? You're going to go buckaroo. You're going to end up off the horse. So you've got to work time to build trust. Now, some horses are a lot easier to build trust. I've ridden a horse before, and it didn't really want me riding it, so it kept taking me to the tree to knock me off. But it's important that when we witness, that we try to not necessarily just give people the gospel. If we want to disciple them, we're going to need them to trust us to show them what is best based upon the Bible, not based upon what we believe. Our second point is the Great Commission isn't a lonely mission. As we look at verse 20, near the end of the verse, it says, I am with you always, always, even to the end of the world. Now, you can say, well, being a Christian can sometimes seem lonely. It can. But there are some other missions where they feel like they're the only ones. I'm the only one doing this. And they do it in their own strength. And I want to challenge you that as we look to share the gospel with people, and when we feel drained and we feel like we have no more, like Elijah, we can call to God. We can call to God. And I just want to turn to a passage, Psalms chapter 31 and verse 24. And this is an encouragement, because there are times where we may feel like Elisha and we feel like we are the only ones and everyone's giving us a hard time for what we believe. So in Psalm chapter 31 and verse 24 it reads, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. Amen. God is able to give us the strength. We have his power. We are not alone. Moving on. Not only have we seen that the Great Commission is not exclusive, is not a lonely mission, but also the Great Commission requires us first to place our faith in Jesus. In verse 18, midway through the verse, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. That power was given to God through Jesus. And we can have that power. But if we're not willing to put our faith and trust in God, we can end up doing things in our own strength. I think of Samson in Judges. He had the power of God on his life. He was able to kill 1,000 men just with the jawbone of an ass. But he kept going about doing what he thought was right in his own strength, and he didn't have the power of God anymore. And if we want to be that witness and help people, and we're faithful within the church, and we're trying to get alongside people and befriend them and tell them how that God's helped us in our life, and we've learned a few things because we've been in church a while, and then we're trying to be maybe one of the older men teaching the younger men, or one of the older women teaching the younger women, and we're just trying to help people in the Christian walk, but then we just feel like, oh, I don't have it anymore. I've been doing this for a while. I've been faithful in church. I went to soul winning for a whole year, and I think I'm out of it. I don't have any more gas. I'm just going to have a sabbatical, even though I only was there for 1 year. There's no sabbatical in witnessing, unfortunately. Well, there is when you get to heaven. There's no more witnessing. But you want to get as many people there, right? So we need the Lord's strength, but he will give us the power. We need the Lord's strength to be able to do what he wants. We're not necessarily trying to do things for our benefit. When we go to witness and we think about missions, we're not necessarily thinking about driving and having a gun pointed to our head and being able to get out of it, or having spears almost thrown at us, as some of the missionary stories that you might have heard. And, you know, they didn't die. I tell you right now, I wouldn't want to be one of those missionaries with a gun to my head. But I tell you, they must have had a lot of faith and trusting in the Lord. I've heard some of them. And it was only through God's strength that they were able to do that. Missions isn't about having a grand story. It's not about saying, I went to this country and I was able to see these people saved. And it's about sharing the gospel. It can be just as precious as you praying for a family member over many, many years and them coming to the Lord. You are still seeking to make disciples. You are witnessing to them. They weren't necessarily listening straight away. They weren't wanting to take the gospel. But you were still seeking to make disciples. And that's what the Great Commission is. It's about trying to share the gospel and direct people to be like Christ. Our last point tonight is the Great Commission is a constant mission. There are some missions in life that once you've finished it, it's done. It's not like a game where you play and you get to a level, and then once you get through the levels, you finish the game, and then you give the game and like, okay, well, I need to go back to EB Games and go get another game because I've done all the levels. No, no, no. The Great Commission is a constant mission. It's not something I've done enough, I put my feet up, and that's it. It's something that continues on throughout your whole life. When Paul was coming to the end of his life, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and verse 7, it reads, I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. He wasn't hoping to just do it for a time, planted a number of churches, that's it, I'm going back to Jerusalem, just going to be one of the regular members in Jerusalem, Church of Jerusalem. No, he kept trying to. And sometimes when we hear some of these missionaries, I think of Brother Halawati. He's he's had a great part in starting churches. And he would love to go back to Argentina, but physically he can't necessarily go over there. And I believe his son won't pay for the ticket because he goes, I'll be paying for a funeral straight after I pay for the ticket. But his desire as a missionary is he wants to keep witnessing to those Argentinians or Paraguayans and give the gospel to them. I remember in the last couple of years when Brother Anger was in the nursing home, and his liver was failing, and he's like, hopefully next month I'll be going to Burma for 20 months. Hopefully next month I'll be going to Burma. I'm hoping that, you know, I'll be able to get out of here and get to Burma and you know, keep that mission going. Well, praise the Lord, I heard last night from a friend that that mission is still continuing on. He's not here anymore, but he saw a constant mission to keep sharing the gospel, seeing people saved, going to places that were unreached. Now, that's not for everyone. Some of us need to be faithful in Jerusalem. Some of us need to maybe go somewhere further in the state, and there are some people that need to go abroad. But we all have a part in the Great Commission. And I think within our own church, when I was listening to our missionary brother, Tony Evans, when he was giving a testimony, and he's obviously would have said it a lot better if you were here, I think it was about 2 weeks ago, how he talked about Malcolm and Beverly Trays. Now, I believe they were his youth leaders. Pastor, you could probably correct me if I'm wrong. But what Brother Evans mentioned to us as a church was the constant prayer and communication that they had to Brother Evans. Now, they got a little bit older, but that didn't stop them wanting to be a part of helping the Evans make disciples in Japan. And you could probably talk to Pastor O'Sullivan, that doesn't mean they're not wanting to stop witnessing to people in the nursing home. The Great Commission is being constant mission. And for us that are younger, that's a challenge for us, because that's a lot of years. It's hard enough for us to keep one job for more than 10 years, let alone have our focus not necessarily about getting a good job, living a life that has a nice house, as the world might say. Life is about being happy. No, the Bible's teaching us the Great Commission. Our mission is the Great Commission. And what we do in our life needs to be centered upon this mission. When we think about what we're going to do in our lives, we need to say, is that going to prevent me from helping make other disciples? Or if what I'm doing at work or what I'm studying to do, is that still going to give me opportunity to make disciples? Am I still going to be effective in doing that? And that's my challenge tonight. Is no matter what we do in our lives, we need to have a part in the Great Commission. We don't need to necessarily be one of the leaders of the church or lead a ministry, but we need to have a part in the Great Commission. This is one of the last things that Jesus said. And I believe this is one of the things that as we look at Missions Month, this is a reminder to help us remember, what am I doing? What am I doing? What part do I have in the Great Commission? Because this is what I need to be looking at. Our mission is the Great Commission. It's not exclusive to to some Christians. The Great Commission is not a lonely mission. The Great Commission requires faith, and the Great Commission is a constant mission. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you